Like to read from the prophet Zechariah chapter 4. We'll read from verse 1 all the way to verse number 14. My focus will nonetheless be verse 6 and 7. Hear the word of the Lord. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see and behold a lampstand all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord which range through the whole earth." Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" And a second time I answered and said to him, "What are these two branches of the olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured out?" He said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I think the previous devotion last week, Thursday, Dr. Bruce alluded to the fact that we face all kinds of fears in our time today. And he really took us through a list of fears that many people find themselves faced with. And I want to touch on that also this morning to say, we do experience situations that seem to overwhelm us. We are confronted with circumstances that make us feel weak and vulnerable, and we sometimes feel the way the Israelites who were sent by Joshua to spy out the land, those 10 who brought a bad report and said, "We seem to ourselves like grasshoppers," and so we seemed to them. And so we feel so weak as Christians, even as we hear God admonishing us, "Be holy as I am holy," we still find ourselves totally overwhelmed with a desire to please God and an obvious sense of inadequacy in this regard. Coupled with this, there are so many self-help motivational books that are out there that seem to suggest that the solution lies in us. We just have to believe in ourselves and think positively. Eat the right diet. Maybe exercise more regularly, and everything will just be fine. The fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, is that these things are not helpful in as far as being able to help us get out of our own discouragement and helplessness. It is the same situation that the man of God, Zerubbabel, was facing when he was ministering at this point. You must recognize that it was a time when, after the exile, King Cyrus of Persia had issued a decree that the Jews could return to their own homeland and start rebuilding their temple of the Most High God. And so the first group had started to leave to go to the Promised Land. And we hear, especially when you read the book of Ezra, that in chapter 4, some of the leaders who went there under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua, they started to lay the foundation. And as they laid the foundation, the inhabitants of the land came over and said, "We want to help you to build. We also want to worship your God." But when Zerubbabel and Joshua refused and said, no, we don't want to mix our religion, our faith, with pagan ideas, these people started to write slanderous letters back to the king King Xerxes, saying these people were plotting a rebellion. And so the work was stopped for 16 years. They could not resume the work. So you can imagine the discouragement that they were feeling at that particular time. Here they are. They believe God has brought them to this place to start rebuilding. Now when they start to rebuild, they are stopped. The enemy discourages them. The enemy fights against them. So it looked like a mountain before them at that particular time. And God is encouraging them, or Zerubbabel in this regard, as well as us, brothers. And the encouragement is very simple, that to succeed in our life and service to the Almighty God, if we are to really succeed, we'll have to depend on the divine resources, not on ourselves. If we hope to really live a holy life that God wants us to live, if we really hope to make an impact in the ministry, to serve the Lord faithfully in the ministry and calling that God has given us, it will have to be based on the resources that God provides. In all of ourselves, we are totally weak and inadequate to do these things, brothers. And I want us to look in our text here, three things that seem to come out here in our text. Number one, it seems God, what keeps coming out prominently is the fact of God urging his servant to depend upon his word and to depend upon his spirit and his grace. Let's look first of all this dependence upon his word. We hear in our text, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. So clearly God is speaking, is breaking forth through into a discouraging and dark and gloomy situation, and he breaks forth through his word. And I want to say, brothers, there is no other encouragement in the midst of the challenges that we are facing except from the word of God. This man was faced with a mountain of opposition, a mountain even of the rebels. When the temple was destroyed, there were piles and piles of rubble. How are they ever going to get these things out of the way? and build a temple. How are they ever going to overcome the opposition that they are facing? How are they ever going to succeed in this project? And God brings a word of encouragement. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. You know, brothers and sisters, every time we want to be encouraged, I think the best way to find encouragement is in His Word, in the promises of God. Because the Word of God contains promises which are able to ignite that fire of hope in us, even when we are faced with a mountain of despair. When dark clouds seem to be covering us, and it seems that you have found yourselves battling hopelessly, resisting sin, resisting temptation, trying to live right in a crooked generation, trying to do the right things in the ministry, and nothing seems to be coming out of it, and you feel discouraged, the Word of God gives us encouragement. In fact, Isaiah puts it this way: they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, Isaiah 40 from verse 27. They shall rise up, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. We need to find our encouragement from the Word of God. Even when we are bombarded by bad news from all sides, you read, you open your TV, you switch on your radio, your TV, you are discouraged. You think, we don't seem to be having any impact at all. It is that time that we need to switch off the volume of the radio, the volume of the TV, and switch on the volume of God's Word. What is God saying in the midst of this discouragement? And God is saying, no mountain is too high. No challenge is bigger. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. There might be Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. There might be others out there who are discouraging you to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord faithfully. And you might even be discouraged by the sense of temptations and think, oh God, how am I ever going to resist this? I've tried so much. You can find encouragement in the Word of God that says to you, this mountain is not too high. The Lord and His strength is ever present to make you succeed, both in your personal life but also in your ministry. But secondly, what He's saying here, He talks about His Spirit. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, if Zerubbabel is going to succeed at all in his endeavor to serve the Lord in his crooked generation, if he's going to pull through this project altogether, Zerubbabel will have to depend not upon his skills, not upon his strength, not upon his royal descent, but the fact of one thing: the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit. We are not building a temple of hands, brothers. We are involved in the work of the ministry. We are involved in the spiritual temple, the body of Christ, the church. And as God spoke to Zerubbabel, He still speaks to us today, that if we are ever going to succeed, it will have to be results that are not manufactured by us, but it will have to be results that He Himself has accomplished. I was thinking of these words, thinking back on the time when I was pastoring a church. And at that time, The church I was pastoring under the denomination, we were under immense pressure to produce results. We were under pressure to bring, we had a form called statistics form that we had to submit to say, how is the church growing now? And every year there were church growth conferences and speakers were brought in from the U.S. to come and address us. And normally there would be men who are pastoring 5,000 churches, 5,000 member churches, mega churches. And they would challenge us about, these are the five principles you must do. First step, this. Second step, this. Third step, this. And at that time, in most cases, I would leave the conferences discouraged because I would look at myself in this rural village. I'm not able to get 1,000 members, let alone 500. And I would say, I'm a total failure. My ministry is a total failure. Why am I not succeeding in this? But then I realized, brothers, that really, who is the Lord of the harvest? Christ is the Lord of the harvest. We are not the Lords of the harvest. We are not sovereign over the harvest. We can plant, others among us can water, as Paul says it. But ultimately, who decides whether the seed will grow or not? The Almighty God, the Lord of the harvest, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so this is comforting. This became a comfort to me to say, I have to be faithful in what I need to be faithful to do, and let God be God and do what He and He alone can do. And that put my heart at rest at that time, brothers and sisters. And likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to depend on the Holy Spirit here. Just as He said it to Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. Look at the imagery that is shown to the prophet here. He sees a golden bowl. He sees a golden lampstand. They are seven. There's a bowl on top. There are two trees, olive trees, that are feeding the bowl with fresh olive. And that olive flows into the lamps. And therefore it keeps the lamps burning. And those two, that imagery was saying to the prophet, there is an endless supply of power to keep the lights burning. These lights, as long as the trees were there, producing an endless supply of olive oil, the lights were guaranteed to burn forever. And God is bringing this imagery to the prophet to communicate it to Zerubbabel, to say, listen, as long as you don't depend on yourself, as long as you look to the Lord and in His mighty power, then you can rest assured that your ministry will be sustained, you will be sustained, and this project will go through. And I think that's comforting as a word to us, brothers. And it brings us to a point to say, we must stop looking inward and stop looking outward. When the world is calling to us to believe in ourselves, we must begin to say, no, I have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to seek Him more. I have to rely on Him. I have to acknowledge that apart from Him, as He says in John 15, verse 5, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have to walk in dependence upon Him. No wonder why Jesus, when He was sending out His disciples, after He gave them that great commission, He warns them. He says, please, remain in Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Because John baptized with fire, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And they had to remain there before they could go out so that they can be clothed with that power. Because without that power, how can Peter, who is a coward, be able to stand in the midst of crowds and say, "You have crucified Christ with your wicked hands"? How can he say that? He had to be clothed with power to have that boldness to preach that gospel. We need the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, if we are going to succeed even in our personal lives. We are not going to be holy by the number of rules that we are given. We will be holy as the Holy Spirit indwells us and inclines our hearts and our behavior towards the fear of God. And it is this that Paul is talking about in Romans 8, verse 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We are weak. We are weak. The strongest among us is weak. We are weak. But the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know even what we ought to pray for. We think we do, but we don't. We don't know what we ought to be praying for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. If we are going to really succeed in as far as living a holy life and serving the Lord faithfully, it will be through dependence, constant dependence upon that nourishing power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Lord says to the prophet here. Don't rely on your own power. Don't rely upon your own wisdom. But let it be my Spirit. Only then can the mountain be leveled and made low. But then he says also something here in verse number 7. And he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Now, the word used here, grace, chen, there are two prominent words in the Old Testament for the word grace, is the word chesed and the word chen. In some cases, they can be interchangeable. Used. But the word chen, you find it in the same book of Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10, where he's talking about the time in the future when God would pour out the Holy Spirit in the midst of the nation of Israel. The Spirit, he calls him the Spirit of grace and supplication. And that's the word chen, the Spirit of grace. And the result of it, he says, they will look to the one they have pierced and they will mourn for him as one mourn for his firstborn. And it is the same thing that is alluded, that is quoted by the author of the book of John, the Apostle John, chapter 19, verse 37, when he says that scripture was fulfilled in Christ. So the word chen is rich in meaning, because you can even look back in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 8, when it was used for the first time in reference to Noah. It says Noah found what? Chen. He found grace. Favor in the eyes of the Lord. Then it tells us that contrary to the view that Noah was a perfect man, actually Noah, the reason Noah came to the ark and out of the ark and survived and is counted among the righteous by faith and is even recorded in the book of Hebrews and is called the preacher of righteousness. It all boiled down to one thing, the grace of God. God's chen, God's grace. It was God's grace at work in his life. What does it mean to us, brothers and sisters? Zerubbabel, we are told, he will bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. In other words, the people will celebrate the grace of God when this temple is built. Because it will be obvious to them and to everybody else, including Zerubbabel, that this was an impossible project. From a human point of view, only God could have accomplished it. And that's the essence of it, brothers. Salvation and preservation of the saints rests in one thing, the grace of God. It does not rest on him who runs, him who wills, him who is able, him who prays more than all of us, him who fasts more than all of us, but it boils down to one important thing, grace, the grace of God. The New Testament authors, the prominent of which is Paul, stresses this point. In one instance, Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't stand in your own power." And in Ephesians, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." That's grace. In his own ability, he will not be able to stand. None of us. None of us, brothers, will be able to stand. The time that we live in are so challenging. It will be difficult, actually impossible, to live for the Lord and to serve him faithfully without the grace. We need grace. The grace of God. And it is this grace that Paul talks about, that God said to him, "It is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses." And therefore Paul can easily say, "I rejoice in weakness, because when I am weak, then I am strong. But when I think I'm strong, I must be careful, lest I fall. But when I'm weak, I acknowledge my weakness and say, 'Lord, grant that which you require from me. You require holiness from me. Grant it. Give me the grace. Give me the ability to be holy, even as you are holy. You require me to preach the gospel fearlessly, with boldness, in the face of opposition. Grant it. Because apart from you, I am timid. I'm scared to death.'" It is when these things, we realize these things, brothers, like Zerubbabel, that we can then do the work of the Lord faithfully, knowing that it is not us at work ultimately. It is God working through us. In your struggle against sin, temptation, and difficulties, remember, you and I are not struggling alone. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. There's a grace of God that cushions you against any obstacle that you may face or you may be facing at this particular point. And you have His sure promises that are sealed with His blood, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is more firm than the eternal mountains. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, impress these truths upon our hearts and minds and cause us to walk in them. Cause us to depend on You and not ourselves. Cause us to walk in humility and in the fear of the Lord. Grant to us these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Where any of us have failed in our personal lives, in our ministries, we pray, Lord, that You will forgive us and bring us in a fresh way to a point where we no longer seek to do these things in our own strength, but that we can trust You and rely upon Your promises. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.